parking for over 100 trucks, picnic tables, even an exercise area. A safe, clean area to park the truck for the night. The cost, free. Compare this to the UK, where a driver is charged £25 to £30 a night. The standards are far lower, and the driver has to either foot this out of his own pocket, or the company he drives for has to pay it, which is one reason why the wages could be considered so low and are possibly driven so low. So it's for that reason that today's guest is a young chap called Lee Tombling. Lee has been a friend of mine for a long while. He's one of nature's funny men. But today he's promised to behave himself. But the main reason he's here is Lee is a truck driver, and he's been involved in truck driving at all levels, from motorsport all the way to delivering letters. You name it, I think Lee has hauled it. Lee Tombling, welcome to the Backseat Driver Radio Show.
Good morning.
It's very topical at the moment, which is why you are here, I'm pleased to say. What is the state of truck driving in England?
Well, at the moment, obviously, as you know, there's a big truck driver crisis where there's no truck drivers effectively, and there's no one coming into the haulage business because of the long hours and the job itself. Truck driving by its own nature is a very difficult job. It's long hours, and you're away from home at long periods of time, and it's not a job that it's not a nine to five job.
No.
You know, it's more of a way of life in some respects.
Yeah. Even though the modern truck is quite luxurious, the tractor unit, as it's called, because I've been in one or two of them, they're now big enough to stand up in and walk round in, and you've showers and fridges, yeah, TVs, everything else. You are still living in a one-man caravan, for want of a better term.
You are, really. You are a one-man band. You have to be happy with being, you know, on your own, really, and being with yourself. You have to be your own doctor at times. You have to be your own, you have to be your own negotiator. You have to be able to speak several languages if you're going abroad. You know, you have to, be your own security person. You know, you have to be wear all these different hats.
Yeah.
You know, as well as driving the truck. And, of course, you know, trucks have come a long way since I first started driving. The trucks were, you know, a lot more agricultural when I first started 36 years ago. But now the trucks are like spaceships, you know,
yeah,
and they're huge vehicles, you know, with lots of amenities. But it's still, the job is still the same. You're still going away from home for long periods of time.
You've still sat in traffic jams for 6 hours on the M6.
You're still stacking traffic jams on the M6. I mean, there has been an accident on the M6. For as long as I can remember, between Stafford and Stoke-on-Trent. For some reason, I don't know why people keep crashing there, you know, but it's been happening for years, and I can't get my head around that. But, yeah, the truck driving game is a tough job, you know, and it's not for everybody. But you get, with the haulage situation at the moment where there's a lack of lorry drivers, it's because it's not attractive.
No.
You know, that's the trouble. It's long hours, it's difficult work, it's tough work, it's highly legislated, and it's poorly paid until now. Recently, obviously, the wages are starting to go up.
Well, I think the powers that be have realised, they should have realised this a long time ago, that people expect to be paid for a day's work.
Exactly.
It's not an unusual request or an unusual demand.
I mean, there are several reasons why this has happened over time, you know, because haulage companies, if you go back to like when I first started driving, there were lots of British haulage companies.
Yeah.
And basically what had been happening is European companies have been coming into the country and doing a thing called cabotage, where they can travel around UK for up to 3 weeks before they go back to Europe. And they were doing some of the work that UK-based haulage.
So they bring a load into the UK.
They bring a load into UK, then they would pick up some of our work and do it cheaper.
Yeah,
and basically a lot of UK companies couldn't compete with that, and a lot of them went to the wall because of that reason, you know. And then obviously you've got the advent of Eastern European drivers coming to UK for a better life, and that, I've got nothing against anyone trying to better themselves, you know. I mean, a perfect example of this, really, is to give people an idea why Eastern European drivers have come to the UK. It sums up in this conversation I had with a Polish chap once. I said to him, you know, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Poland. And I said, you know, why do you come to England to work? And he said, this is how he summed it up. In my country, I work for 3 months I have deposit for car.
Yeah.
I come to UK, I work for 1 month, I buy a car. There's the difference, you know. So obviously, you know, it was more attractive. But what's happened now in the haulage sector of UK is that the Eastern Europeans have gone home because of the advent of Brexit and one thing and another. And also, there is a driver crisis everywhere. It's not just UK. It's in France, Belgium, Germany, everywhere, Australia, America.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing I've been reading. People say there's a shortage of... well, I used to call them HGV drivers, heavy goods vehicle drivers, but apparently now it's LGV, large goods vehicles drivers.
Yeah, they changed it to make it sound more attractive, I think. You know, but it's still the same old job, you know, at the end of the day. Like, I mean, there are different types of, like you're looking at petrol tanker drivers, for example. They are called ADR drivers because they drive, you know, dangerous goods. So they have a specialist license for that. You know, so, yeah.
So that's the one thing everybody says, oh, we need more HGV drivers or LGV drivers. Well, yes, and we know there's a backlog courtesy of the DVLA who went on strike in August, and that was kept nice and quiet. There's over 54,000 applications, etc., need to be processed. But what people don't realise is, okay, for the food, for the pending or possible food shortages, you need an LGV licence.
Yeah.
But to drive fuel tankers, you need the additional ADR license or passport. So the sudden appearance of 54,000 more truck drivers on the UK market does not solve the petrol bit, because they don't, none of them or few of them will have the ADR to go with it.
No, that's right. And what a lot of people don't realise as well is it's a vocational license, so it costs money to get it.
Yeah.
You know, so for example, typically to get your class one driving license, when I did, you know, 35 years ago when I first started driving, I went from car license to HGV class one on a week's course.
Yeah.
But now the laws have changed, so they have to go to a class two, which is like a rigid vehicle, and then you go to a class one. Now, each step of that will cost money. So you know, upward between £2,000 and £4,000 now to get HGV.
Yeah.
Then you get an ADR license, which will be another maybe £1,000, £1,500. And then you will get a HGV passport for a tanker driver, which may cost you another, you know, £1,000 to £2,000. So, you know, to become a tanker driver, you could be looking at spending about £8,000, you know, or more.
Because I know to haul a tanker, because a tanker by its nature in the main, or there are powders and things like that, you're carrying liquid. Yep. Now, I know tanks or the tankers are divided into three or four sections, because they get something what's called a dead roll, where if all this fluid starts sloshing about, it can roll the vehicle over. So there is an art to driving
a
tanker full of fluid around, especially if it's likely to go boom if you're not careful.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the petrol tankers are divided into five sections. So they're about 5,000 litres in each section, with a total of around about 35,000 litres on board, you know, which equates to around about 27 to 28 tonnes of fuel. So the total vehicle weight would be around about 44 tonne. But and then you have a special, I forgot what they call them now, but they have special dividers in between each, like baffles, if you like. And what happens is when you brake, the fuel doesn't all come at the same time.
So should the front.
But when you do stop at a set of traffic lights in a tanker, you will sit there and the thing will be rocking backwards and forwards where the fuel is moving. It's natural motion, you know. But yeah, certainly you have to change your driving style when you're driving a tanker. Like, you know, you might come up to a long left-handed bend or a right-handed bend or a roundabout. You have to really think about what you're doing, and because obviously the fluid starts moving, the vehicle starts to change, its characteristics starts to change, you know. Yeah. So you have to really be aware of that sort of thing.
The voice of the valley. This is Ribble FM. voice of the valley. 106.7 Ribble FM.
After an accident, many drivers believe they must use their insurer's chosen repairer, but actually, you have the right to choose. James Alp has over 30 manufacturer approvals from Tesla, Land Rover, Jaguar, Audi, BMW, Mercedes, and more. They offer free collection and delivery and provide a courtesy vehicle as standard, regardless of your policy. And if your insurer raises your excess for choosing your own repairer, James Alp could help you cover those costs too. Visit jamesalp.co.uk.
Hey, have you lost weight?
No, I've just had my bra fitted properly, so everything is right where it should be. Remember, any good outfit starts with the right foundations. If your boobs aren't up where they should be, being supported and making you feel comfortable, then nothing is going to look or feel right. You wouldn't put a size 7 foot in a size 3 shoe now, would you? Perfect Fit by Carol, with more sizes than you can imagine, and fitting so easy. There's no tape measures involved. It's practically magic. You'll wonder why you didn't visit sooner. Visit them on King Street, Clitheroe, or check out their Facebook page. Perfect Fit by Carol, getting you your perfect fit.
Planning an adventure? Hitching a trailer, caravan or bike rack to your vehicle? Whether it's for work or leisure, Ribble Valley Towing has you covered. Fitting a new tow bar, repairs, electrics, our experienced engineers will sort it. Expert fitting, quality accessories and an honest local service at the right price. Choose Ribble Valley Towing, Unique 20, Twinbrook Industrial Estate, Clitheroe.
Craving something different? Discover Akila Street Food in Great Harwood, where homemade Indian-inspired street food dishes meet with a Lancashire twist. Sizzling curries, propadoms, fish pakoras, rolls, wraps, you name it. Every bite is crafted with love and passion for tasty treats. Lunch, dinner and even takeaway. It's the perfect place to tickle your taste buds. Akila Street Food, Great Harwood. Taste the fusion, taste the passion. Your taste buds will thank you. For more information, find us on Facebook.
Ribble FM. For local radio, it has to be Ribble FM.
Well, the one thing is like that quote I read earlier on. I mean, you've driven in continental Europe a lot, especially were involved in the in transporting race teams around.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time driving around Europe. And before we went on air, I commented one of the places I used to do was, especially in Germany and France, is pull up at the truck stops, because you were guaranteed pleasant facilities, okay, basic, but a good meal at a right price. Continental Europe looks after its truck drivers.
They do. They do look after their truck drivers. I mean, I used to, like I said to you earlier on, I used to stop at a place called Giesewind, which is in the German-Austrian border. And you pull up there and a guy comes out in a bit and brace, he fills the vehicle up for you. You know, they'll wash the vehicle down. You can go and get a really good meal. You know, you're treated with respect. That's the other thing about truck driving in the UK, is you're not treated with respect.
Yeah.
You know, and you are treated with respect over there. It's seen as a professional qualification.
Yeah.
Whereas in the UK, they don't look at it that way. You know, they don't look at you as a professional person that's driving a vehicle that's got a vocational license. Like a pilot would get a license to fly an aircraft, you know.
So if you're if you fly a 747 for a living, you're like quite high up in the prestige stakes, aren't you?
Yeah, you are, yeah.
And driving a truck, okay, you're not carrying people, but you're carrying a lot. You're still carrying a load.
You're carrying all sorts of things, you know. I mean, absolutely everything. See, there's what a lot of people can't get their head around, right? Absolutely everything that we have today comes on the back of a truck.
Yeah.
Everything, right? From food, and you're seeing that now with empty shelves in Tesco's and stuff like that, because the driver shortage.
Yeah.
Everything comes on the truck, you know. And that's part of the problem, I think, is that people don't realise that, you know, really. They don't get red around that situation, like, you know.
I mean, one of the things that used to be bandied about was they come over here from abroad or Eastern Europe and take our jobs. Well, they aren't here anymore as such. So why are all these jobs that were stolen, why aren't they now being filled by English truck drivers?
Well, because there's lots of reasons for that. That we have an ageing workforce.
I know. You and I are doing quite well in the ageing workforce.
Quite well, yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I mean, I'm 59 soon. So, yeah, I mean, we have an ageing workforce. And a lot of young people nowadays, their focus time is on computers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, there's no getting away from it. Truck driving is a tough job. It's not an easy job. And it's a difficult job. And it requires a lot of concentration. It requires you to be away from home quite a lot. It requires you to, you know, to be involved in things that you perhaps wouldn't think you'd be involved in. Like, for example, what happened to me a few weeks ago. Parked up on an industrial estate at midnight, woken by these people in balaclavas who wanted to break into the vehicle.
Yeah.
Suddenly you've got to become, you know, a one-man army to fight these people off, you know. And this sort of thing happens on a daily basis with truck drivers, you know.
So it's not just an occasional occurrence?
No, it happens all the time. I mean, the thing is, you know, trucks are carrying valuable goods.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going all over the country.
As time goes on and shortages
exactly,
appear,
there's
more and more becomes a valuable commodity.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, that's just one part of it, but obviously the other part of it is if you've got a small family, you don't want to be away from your kids. I mean, I remember, you know, I'd come home 1 week and see my son, he'd be that high, and then I come home a couple of weeks later and he'd be a little bit taller.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing, you know.
Your wife saying, that's your dad.
That's your dad, exactly, yeah. And it literally is. That's the job. I mean, at the time when I had, you know, my children, three children were young, you know, because my wife wasn't working, so I had to bring the money home.
Yeah.
So I took the job where I went abroad, you know, and I went away for...
Because at one point in time, being a continental truck driver...
Yeah.
Was A, quite prestigious.
Yeah, yeah.
B, it was known for paying quite decent wages. You'd be away for like 3 and 4 weeks at a time, wouldn't you?
It was, big money. In 1998, when the Kosovo campaign was on, I got asked, well, there were 6 vehicles sent by the British government to take humanitarian aid to Kosovo, and I was one of them drivers.
Yeah.
And we were handpicked to go and do that job. And we was away for like 14, 15 days. And you're going to a war zone. We've got danger money and stuff like that, which made it more attractive. I mean, in 1998, I was being paid £1,100 a week.
Yeah.
Which, in a normal circumstance, I'd be paid £350 a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a massive, you know, amount of money.
It was a massive amount of money, and I would say quite a decent incentive as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was decent. I mean, it was pretty scary, but I mean, it was a decent incentive. But, and then when you do the motorsport, when I did the motorsport work, you know, that was more money. And when you went abroad, you know, you could just not name
it. Because when you were involved with motorsport, after you parked the truck and the trailer and everything else.
Yeah. You had to have a little jobs to do.
You had other little jobs to do. You became part of the team, didn't you? Part of driving. Right. You went and worked in the pits, etc.
Yeah, I used to do wheel washing.
Yeah.
So look, you'd be washing the racing car wheels with silicone to stop the things known as marble sticking to the inside of the alloys, you know, and stuff like that. So we'd be doing things like that, and we'd be transporting people around in minibuses, you know, sponsors and things like that. You know. So we'd be doing other tasks, you know, as well as driving. That's quite a... I mean, I'm too old for that now, but and it is a very physical job, you know, when you're driving. You'd be driving long periods of time. Like these guys that do the bands and concerts and stuff like that, you know, they'll drive somewhere.
And then become a roadie
and start, you know, and working all night and then drive somewhere else, you know. So it's a very demanding job. But also, I must say, truck driving has been very good to me over the years, you know, and I've seen lots and lots of, you know, beautiful sights, and I've experienced lots of different things, you know, some good, some bad, but on the whole, very good, you know.
Yeah.
And I would say to people, you know, give truck driving a career a think, you know. I mean, it's not every career is like as I'm describing, but there are some aspects of it that are good, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose in a way, if you're a continental guy, you get paid to do a touring holiday once or twice a month. Without being derogatory, because I know when I used to tour Europe in a car, it was pleasure and everything else. I didn't have to make deadlines and things like that. But to a degree, you got to see a lot of the world.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some advantages to that, you know. And like you say, it's like almost going on holiday, you know, if it's every 2 weeks, really. You know, not so nice when you're going up Mont Blanc in the snow. That's a new thing, you know. But you could look at it that way. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But the only thing that's happened is, as time's gone by, I mean, it's like the wages and everything else. I mean, okay, it's like you said with the Polish driver who went from earning enough for a deposit for a car to be able to just go and buy it. Why haven't the wages kept up? Or is it because that there were European drivers coming in? Or why does the truck driving industry, who desperately require truck drivers, treat their drivers with a distinct lack of respect?
Well, it's all about... if you run a transport company, you've got to compete with other transport companies.
Yeah.
Basically. And if you've got to move goods from A to B, you're competing with someone else that can do it for, you know, a cheaper price.
Yeah.
So basically, it comes down to cost saving, right? So where you're going to save money the most is where you pay your wages.
Yeah.
So effectively, that's what they've done. And they've brought in Eastern European drivers, paid them a pittance, and basically half the wages that British drivers were being paid, which is unfair, really.
Yeah.
And once they sort of got wind of this, they've all gone back home, you know.
Yeah.
And then they brought the Romanian drivers in, and, you know, and then the Romanian drivers got wind of it, and they went home, and, you know, so and now in Europe, the wages have actually pay more now in Poland and Romania and stuff like, and places like this.
So they're better off stopping for the better at home in their own country.
Exactly, yeah.
They can make more money.
They
there
can
now
make more money
over in England.
So it's not as attractive anymore. You see, you know, that's the thing, you know. But drivers, you know, truck drivers' wages have always notoriously been, you know, stagnated for years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I first started driving, I was on £300 a week.
Yeah.
You know, which was a lot of money then.
Yeah.
And you thought, oh, £300 a week, wow, you know. And, pardon me. And, but over the time, when we got to like 1990s, they sort of stopped around the £500 a week mark. You know, and if you got £600 a week, you was really making some good money. But you'd have to work, you know, 60, 70 hours for that.
You know,
and, you know, put the hours in. But now, obviously, now they're throwing money at drivers like it's going out of fashion. You know, and it's unheard of. I mean, now it's the norm to get £1,000 a week. You know,
right.
And or even more than that in some cases, you know. But
I know one of the things from haulage, especially many years ago, there used to be the infamous backload, which meant you took a load from A to B, but so you didn't return from B back to A empty, they will try and find a load at C to go and pick up and bring back up here, the famous backloads. And without backloads, a lot of trucks were running at a loss because a truck carrying fresh air is not making any money.
No, I mean, that's true. A truck only makes money when it's moving.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and when a truck stood still, it's not making anything, you know. And when it's rolling is when it's making money. But, you'd get backloads. You know, you'd maybe go somewhere, do a delivery, and then you'd go somewhere else, pick a backload up to come back. Quite a few companies, like container companies, will pay like a return price on it, and it'll give you money to go somewhere and come back empty.
Yeah.
You know, but that's only for speed of turnaround.
Yeah.
So you can get another job on, you know, that's why they do that. But a lot of companies used to do that. So you pick a wagon up on a Monday and then you'd be out until Friday because you're basically tramping.
Yeah.
All over. They call it tramping because, you know, by the end of the week, you look like a tramp. That's the top, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
And the other one thing, I might be completely wrong, but I mean, years ago, I can remember independent truck drivers who had their own truck, be it a Rigid or an Arctic.
Yeah.
Well, that seems to have gone on the decline because the one thing about an independent one-man band was he'd drive his truck Monday to Friday, occasionally Saturday, and then Sunday he'd be out with the spanners working on it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the one thing a truck does do. It does tremendous amounts of miles, plus also the cost of buying a truck. I mean, they are serious money, aren't they?
They are serious money, and one of the most difficult things you will ever do is buy a truck. It is one of the most difficult things. You think it would be quite easy.
Yeah.
You think, like, you know, you go to a car showroom and you think, oh, I'll just buy that car. And within, you know, a couple of hours, you can be driving down the road in the car. But you can't do that with a truck. And it really seriously is a difficult process.
What's so difficult about buying?
Because you can't just turn up and say, right, I'll have that truck. Because it's got to go on an O license. Then it's got to be, you know, you've got to have MOTs and it's got to go for an inspection. You know, it's a long, drawn-out process. It used to take me, when I bought trucks, it used to take up to about a month to get one.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not like you can just nip in and say, well, I'll have that. You know?
Yeah.
It don't work like that with vehicles, you know, with trucks. But yeah, the one man band, the owner driver, they have, over the years, the government has made it more difficult to become a one man band, you know, and that's because of legislation.
Because the other thing is, you mentioned the old license, which means an operator's license. Operator's license. You've got to have a license to actually do the job.
That's correct. Yeah, you've got to apply for an operator's license. So you have to, basically, when you have an operator's license, you have to fulfill certain aspects of it. So you have to have a good financial standing. You have to be able to know what you're talking about. You have to have a certificate of competence in transport management and stuff like that. So there's quite a lot involved in getting an operator's license. The truck driving part, after all, that is the easy bit, you know, once you get going. And then, you know, there's a lot of upfront costs as well. I mean, a truck, a second-hand truck, a good second-hand truck with maybe, you know, like 850,000 miles on the clock.
He's built absolutely nothing, has he?
Which it's just run in, you know. And, you might buy that for about £30,000 or maybe £26,000, a decent one. And, if you're going to buy a brand new truck, you'd be looking upward to, looking up to about £80,000, for a decent tractor unit, you know, a nice one. And, so you've got that cost. Then you've got the O license cost, which could be, you know, upfront of 10 grand before you get started.
Yeah.
Then you've got your insurance cost.
I was going to say, the insurance isn't exactly...
Insurance is expensive.
You'll have it in your back pocket. You won't really have that amount.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got your truck insurance, which could be about £7,000-£8,000. And then you've got your goods in transit insurance for carrying the goods. And then you've got your public liability insurance. You know, so you have a lot of insurances to add on. So by the time that's finished, you could be looking 9-10 grand for insurance. Then you've got your fuel. You know, you've got to put fuel in it, right? So
strangely enough, they tend not to go anywhere really.
I mean, they're only average, like, you know. But I mean, when I first started driving, the early trucks would do about 6 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
You know, and the new modern vehicles, you can get up to about 12 to a gallon, which is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
12 to a gallon. Well, you'd be 12 miles to the gallon, you know. But I mean, these things are seriously putting a lot of weight, you know, and that's the
thing. Well, I mean, like V8s, V10s, V12s are nothing unusual for trucks, are they?
Yeah, I mean, you get like a straight, a straight 10 or you know, a V8 or something like that, you know. But yeah, and, you know, with big turbos on and stuff and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you've got all these upfront costs, and you've got
tyres as well.
Tyres, yeah. So one tyre on a trucker is about £350 for one tyre.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you get a blowout, that's like half your profit gone, really, you know, for the week, you know. So there's quite a lot of costs before the vehicle even moves, you know, or you try to make any money with it. You know, you'd probably spend about £35,000, £40,000.
One question I have to ask, how much does it cost to fill one up with diesel? Providing you can get it.
Yeah, if you've got a normal tractor unit, what we call with just a normal fuel tank, so 450 litres, you look at about £500.
Yeah.
To fill it up with diesel. But then if you had something like a long range vehicle with maybe 1100 litre tank or something like that, you'd be looking over a grand, you know.
Because a lot of trucks, especially the distance ones, have about 3 fuel tanks, don't they?
Yeah, well, they used to have belly tanks years ago underneath the trailers, but they don't have them anymore. But now a lot of the vehicles, you'll see a fuel tank from the back wheel to the front wheel, which will hold around about 1000 litres of fuel, you know. And that vehicle, once it's filled up, you know, it can just tramp around all over the country for about 2-3 days, depending on the way the driver drives it. You know, if he's a good bit of an heavy right foot, then it might not go so far, you know. But, you know what I mean? You go out, the wind is behind you, you know. Yeah.
Your local radio station for the Ribble Valley. On air, online, and on your smartphone app. Ribble FM.
Could it be the start of something? Maybe luck's about to turn around a little. Cause right now, we're caught in the middle. Could it be the start of hoping? Maybe now, the doors are opening to a place that we've never been. Seeing things that we've never seen.
106.7 Ribble FM.
Are you tired of paying a high pump price for your company diesel? Or are you using a fuel card now but worried you signed up to an introductory rate that's now a thing of the past? Let me introduce the Green Arc Fuel Card. With a fully transparent, consistently low price and no surprise surcharges, the Green Arc Fuel Card has nothing to hide. Why not speak to our team on 0345 646 5451 or visit greenarcfuelcard.co.uk and see how much you can save.
Looking for a reliable, trustworthy skip hire service? A1 Skip Hire is here for all your waste management needs. Family run for over 20 years, ensuring your waste is handled responsibly and efficiently. Offering a wide range of skips to suit your every need, whether you're clearing out your garage, renovating your home, or managing construction waste. And because we care about our beautiful planet, all of your waste is processed at our fully licensed recycling plant. Maximum recycling and minimum landfill. Serving the entire Ribble Valley and Blackburn with Darwin. We're local and we're ready to help you manage your waste the right way.
Here are the numbers to call. For the Ribble Valley, 01200 360 035. And for Blackburn with Darwin, 01254 391 616.
Taking pictures or video with your phone? Want to take your passion to the next level? UK Digital have been a leading photographic retailer for the last 20 years. And yes, we are based locally in Clitheroe. Come and see one of the team at UK Digital for friendly, professional advice on all aspects of photography and video. Our showroom is open weekdays, so you can see, touch and try. And with internet prices, there's no need for you to chance it online. UK Digital, your local store with internet prices. Visit ukdigital.co.uk.
It's the lead up to Christmas and a trip to Shackleton's is in store. Exquisite tree trim that's twinkling, gifts and wrapping galore. Select furniture for dining, relaxing or all the Christmas stay, with in-stock items available and delivered every day. Enjoy breakfast with Santa or a mulled wine with friends. There's so much to look at, you won't want the experience to end. So let's decorate the halls and make cosy living rooms this Christmas. A trip to Shackleton's makes all the difference.
Your local radio station for the Ribble Valley. On air, online and on your smartphone app. 106.7 Ribble FM.
I mean, the other thing is now a lot of them might be talking about the modern trucks. Long gone is the six-speed box with the freeway splitters.
Yeah.
They're now all automatics, a lot of them, aren't they?
A lot of them are automatic.
They are technically easier to drive.
They are easier to drive now, and because, I mean, they got the advent of power steering as well.
Yeah.
When I first started driving, there were vehicles with no power steering, and you turned the steering wheel left, and you had arms like a Popeye. You turned the steering wheel left and you let go of the steering, but it didn't return to the centre.
So it didn't tell said feet to wind it up.
You have to pull it back on again, you know. And, so now, obviously, now you can turn the steering wheel with a finger and what have you. But a lot of vehicles now are automatic.
Yeah.
And you have to actually specify now if you want a manual one. I actually prefer a manual vehicle to an automatic one. They are, you know, quite fuel efficient now. And for that reason, really, it's kind of almost taking the driver's input out.
Yeah.
You know, really. A lot of vehicles are automatic and they come equipped with, you know, air conditioning and fridges and microwaves and all that.
Televisions and everything.
Televisions, heating systems, you know.
Showers.
Bunks, showers. Well, I don't know about showers, you know, but I mean, you can actually get a shower that will fit on the outside of a door. I did see one guy standing in the services having a shower start naked, but I wouldn't recommend it at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know.
It might be quite pleasant in the south of France, but not in England.
Not in England when it's pouring down the rain, you know what I mean? It's not so good, you know, but
I mean, you were saying now that they've realised that they have to start paying wages. When do you think the infrastructure will come in that gives the UK truck driver the same facilities as the European truck driver?
I think that's a long way off yet, to be honest with you, because the infrastructure just isn't there at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, you've still got the same roads. We're still, you know, everyone will see now when they're out and about, there's lots of roadworks everywhere, and they're constantly updating the road surface, and that is because the vehicles are heavier now, and that the roads just can't, you know, carry the weight, really. You know,
I was going to say, if you drive down the first lane, the good old-fashioned first lane, yeah, without a hard shoulder next to it, on well-used stretches of motorway, you can actually see the two, like,
the tram lines,
yeah, the grooves, yeah, where the trucks run up and down and, yeah, compress the tarmac and everything else.
They do, yeah, and it's just purely with weight, and that has to do with also, you know, changing weather conditions. If it gets really hot, you know, as you, yeah, know yourself, tarmac starts to get soft, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah.
And you've got these vehicles all trundling along at 44 ton, you know, and it just doesn't take long before a tram line appears, you know,
yeah.
But yeah, as far as, you know, so the infrastructure of the roads has really remained the same, really. That's why there's so many roadworks now, where they're trying to sort of keep on top of it. But the service areas are really dismal in England, really, you know,
yeah,
apart from a couple, really, that, you know, I mean, there's a good one at Gloucester, the farm shop, which is really, you know, which is good. But, I mean, you get things like showers not working and really, I mean, you wouldn't, you know, people say you wipe your feet on the way in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you can wipe them on the way out.
On the way out, you know what I mean? But no, some of them are really, really bad, you know. The thing is, as well, you can't get a healthy meal. That's the other thing, right? Because it's all fast food, you know.
Yeah.
The likes of McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and all these sort of people. You know, if you're a truck driver and you're on the road 5 days, you want a balanced meal. You don't,
yeah,
want to constantly be eating that type of food, you know. And that's because then they develop things like, you know, diabetes and put weight on and all that. And
yeah,
it's just purely because of
the food.
You can't buy anything else, you know.
Yeah.
And if a guy's stuck on a service station, you know, often a lot of drivers take their own food with them in their fridges and stuff like that and make their own food because,
yeah,
you know, the food's pretty rubbish, really. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the one thing, like I said, I mean, I've done it on the continent. When you go into the services in France and Germany and Belgium, whether it's just the normal services or whether it is aimed more at the truck driver, you go in there and it's good, fresh, wholesome food, and you've a selection of things, yeah, to go at.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I must confess, when I'm in Germany in these places, I am a glutton. I'll have a schnitzel
a
with
sausage.
Chips or a sausage and things like that. So yeah, I suppose you could say I would, yeah, eat the food that you've described. We don't want to keep eating, but you can have everything from salads, vegetarian, you name,
yeah,
it. And
yeah,
the one thing about it on the continent, and this is all over the continent, it's not just the truck stops and motorway services, it's all fresh food and it's all freshly prepared. Because,
yeah,
the one thing is, I mean, I speak to my friend in France, who I work with, Marie-Catherine Linney, and she can't conceive of a loaf of bread that, yeah, lasts a week. Because you buy bread in France fresh every day,
yeah,
and they'll have another... They'll bake another batch for lunchtime.
Yeah.
Okay, their bread doesn't keep like ours does. And the reason our bread keeps, it's full of chemicals and things like that.
It's full of chemicals and stuff, yeah, like, and E-numbers and whatever. Yeah,
yeah. Really, whereas, yeah, their bread is... But that's just an example. Everything in continental Europe, in the main,
yeah,
is fresh. I mean, it's like you said, McDonald's and Burger King, yeah, and all these places exist. And fair enough, fair play to them. And every now and then I do succumb to wanting, yeah, to wanting a cheese and bacon burger. Every now and then the urge overcomes me.
Yeah.
But in the main, they eat fresh food,
yeah,
which,
yeah,
is, I mean, not being funny, the one thing about a truck driver is you are sat down all day in the main.
Yeah, we are. I mean, yeah, I mean, depending on what sort of work you're doing. I mean, if you're, like, I used to work for a company that delivered sofas, so it's quite an active job where you're in the back of the vehicle throwing sofas around. So it's almost like going to the gym for 8 hours, you know.
Yeah.
And there are other jobs that are like that. But there are other jobs where you are, it's true what you say, you'll be sat there for 4 hours and then you might take a break for 45 minutes and drive for another 4 hours, you know, to get to your destination. And then you'll be sat there whilst you've been unloaded and then you're making your drive another 4 hours back to where you came,
yeah,
from and stuff like that. So, yeah, so you know, a driver's life really involves a lot of sitting down, you know,
yeah,
definitely, yeah. And if you eat the wrong type of food, and obviously, you know, it's not going to be long before you become overweight and out of shape and,
yeah,
you know, you start to, you know, get some health problems, really.
So I suppose on for certain aspects of truck driving, you won't actually unload, you'll drop the trailer or the container.
Yeah, yeah, if you have a container, for example.
And then hook up to another one and disappear with it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if you're doing trailer changes and stuff like that, you know, that's the problem. Might be the only exercise you get, you know,
yeah,
is to jump out and, you know, disconnect the trailer. Pardon me, but, yeah, I mean, if you're doing container work, for example, you'll go to the port, you know, a crane will drop the container on the back of a trailer, you'll go to your destination. The most exercise you get is opening up the back doors,
yeah,
you know, and then someone else will unload it, you'll shut the back doors, and that's the only exercise you get all day. If,
yeah,
you're gonna Well, I mean, I used to, when I did container work, I used to go for a walk, you know, it's a part of wagging up and say, how long is it going to take you to tip, mate? And that's all, we're going to be about 4 hours, you know, and you'd, like, I'll go for a nice walk, you know, get me rucksack on, go down the town, find a swimming pool, have a shower in the swimming pool. You can have a shower for a pound.
Yeah.
So I used to, what I often used to do is try and park up in town centres.
Yeah.
Because it's on CCTV, so you're being protected at night time. You can get something to eat. You go into a swimming pool, pay a pound, get a shower.
Yeah.
You know, take a soap on a rope down the deep end. And you'd be all right, you know what I mean? And, yeah, so I used to do things like that, you know, to keep myself active, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And the other thing is, as well now, a lot of trucks, when they're delivering at, say, a supermarket or wherever, have an appointment. You will be here at 10 o'clock. And that's given the road conditions these days, you might not be there for 10 o'clock. So you get told, oh, sorry, you've missed your slot.
Yeah, yeah, that is often a problem. I mean, the thing is, you know, you might get someone who starts in Lancashire, for example, and he's got to be in Redruth in Cornwall, and he's got to be there at 10 a.m. the following day, you know.
Yeah.
And through no fault of his own, he's at a, you know, a traffic jam, or there's been an accident or a diversion because of roadworks or whatever the issue is, and he arrives at 11 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy says, listen, you're late.
Yeah.
With no thought or process of what the bloke's just done. He's just driven like 8 hours to get to you, you know, and you're late, you know, go and park over there. And they, what some companies do is, as like punishment, because you turned up late, they'll hold you for 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to sort of prove a point.
Really. Out of devilment.
Yeah, out of devilment, yeah. And you think, oh, you know, what's the point, really, you know. But yeah, that does go on a lot, especially at RDC centres like Tesco's and places like that. You know, they can hold up drivers for, you know, for silliest reasons, really.
Yeah.
But obviously they don't see the bigger picture, what the drivers have to go through to get there. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so that can be a bit frustrating, definitely, yeah.
I will say the only benefit of what has come out of what's happening at the moment is it has highlighted how undervalued truck drivers are. And especially in the UK, although you've said the shortages of truck drivers throughout Europe, and that's being kept quiet to a degree, but it's highlighted what you and your fellow truck drivers have to put up with.
A lot of people, I have to shake people's memories here, right? During the first lockdown, everyone, you know, a lot of people were furloughed and stuff like that, but they still got food.
Yeah.
They still got all their necessities. They still got fuel from the petrol station. That all came on a truck.
Yeah.
You know, the truck drivers are still moving, you know, and delivering during the pandemic, you know. Everyone still got all their stuff, but they didn't get a clap.
Yeah.
None of lorry drivers got a clap. Everyone else got a clap. Lorry drivers were forgotten about.
Yeah.
You know, but if it wasn't for them, you know, if during the pandemic lorry drivers stopped working, then we'd have a real serious...
Yeah.
You know, panic on, you know.
You wouldn't have enough energy to clap.
You wouldn't have any energy to clap, you know.
Nothing and no food.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem, right, is one of the biggest problems is that they are undervalued. There is a lack of respect towards lorry drivers. You know, I think what it is, people look at lorry drivers as a bit of a rogue, really, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, and they're sort of almost looked at like gypsies are, you know, they're sort of discriminated against.
I suppose to a degree, you know, it is a slightly itinerant way of life, isn't it? If you're living in your truck all week.
Yeah, well, it is, yeah. You are roaming around, you know, and you're being, you know, you're sort of a one man, you know, can I explain it really? Like that song, you know, where, you know, I roam around from town to town. That song, you know, that sort of thing, you know, yeah, they are like that, you know, they are kind of like lone wolves, if you like, you know.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, that's just the job, really, at the end of the day. You know, it's not, it's because of the long hours, and it's because of getting from A to B takes such a long time, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of them things. It's something you have to deal with, you know. But yeah, there's a distinct lack of respect for truck drivers, definitely, yeah.
Is due to all this, do you think it's going to get better?
Well, I think the general public is now seeing the result of lack of truck drivers, where you've got queues at petrol stations and there's food shortages and all the rest of it. So I think there's, you know, now a sort of understanding that, you know, actually, you know, we do deserve these guys. These guys do deserve a bit of credit, you know, for what they're doing, you know what I mean? I mean, one of the best things I saw during the pandemic when I was driving along was a family who stood on this bridge, and as I went underneath the bridge, they were giving me the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Right? They were giving me the thumbs up and waving and stuff like that. And I thought that meant more to me then than anything else, because I thought, well, they really appreciate what we were doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's, I know it sounds a bit corny, but it's a simple act like that, you know, that really sort of think, well, you know what, it was worth doing that 15-hour shift to get that baked beans to Tesco's, you know what I mean, so they can have beans on toast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a little thing like that, you know, and that's what we're probably, you know, that's probably what people need to do, really. Just show that.
So it's not so much clap for care as clap for the NHS.
Stop, thumbs up for truckers.
Well, it? Thumbs up for truckers.
Yeah, yeah. Give a wave. You know what I mean? I mean, a truck driver's been in his truck, you know, 15 hours a day. He's away from his family. He don't see his kids. He makes that sacrifice. Yeah, he's doing it for monetary reasons. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's doing it for everybody else as well.
Yeah.
You know? And nothing wrong with just putting a thumbs up, giving a bit of room at junctions and stuff like that, because trucks do take different. You know, they take more of the road up and stuff like that because they're larger vehicles, you know. So just give guys a bit of slack, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lee Tomling, as always, it's a long while since you've been on my radio show. Also, as a rule, it's been for, shall we say, slightly more upbeat reasons, and your true humorous side used to come out. In fact, it used to be a case of, who's my guest today? Oh, it's Lee Tomling.
Watch out.
Won't there be anything left in here by the time we finish?
Probably not.
But, Lee Tomling, thanks very much for coming on the Backseat Driver radio show. And it's like I said, I asked you to tell it like it is, and you have done. I'm very much obliged, and I hope all you guys listening now start to appreciate exactly what truck drivers have to go through, the costs, the sacrifices, and everything else. So once again, Lee Tomling, thanks very much for coming on the Backseat Driver Radio.
You're very welcome. Keep on trucking.
Well done. Well said. And thumbs
up. The Voice of the Valley, 106.7 Ribble FM.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror, and what do you see? Do you see it clearer? Are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human after all, and you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry. For making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human. I do what I can. I'm just a man. I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me. don't put your blame on me.
Listen to us on 106.7 FM via the app for all smartphones, streaming from our website and on smart speakers.
Play Ribble FM.
This is your local radio station. This is Ribble FM.
Did you ever swim back up from the bottom to the top? Did you see the sun come up again? 'Cause I saw you change the lock upon the bottle. And with a little luck, you don't know. With a little luck, you might come back to us. Find someone to get ghost with, a buccaneer rum drum on the side. Did you ever worry you might get a rumble? With a little luck you don't know. With a little luck you might come back to us. Left for you.